This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes or so of old-time radio for you. We begin this week with The Whistler. We'll hear his episode from December 17th, 1945, titled Lucky Night. After that, we'll hear from Have Gun Will Travel and their February 15th, 1959 story titled Return of Dr. Thackeray. But first, here's The Whistler.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler, rated by independent research the most popular program on the West Coast. Remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations in seven western states from Canada to Mexico. And now, the Whistler's strange story, Lucky Night.
Cities are noisy, sprawling things, tentacled with streets and avenues, scarred by towers and ditches, built of shacks and mansions. They combine the beautiful and the ugly. And the people of the cities are as diverse and varied as the buildings, rich and poor, educated and ignorant. The hurrying, scuffling, pushing mob that makes a city live. They are the principals in a million stories enacted every day in the city's streets and its buildings. Here, for example, is the beginning of one story. A man running down a street in the cheap section of the city just after nightfall. He darts across a narrow street without looking. He comes to the intersection of a street and alley just as a car turns the corner.
Hey, you hit him!
How bad?
He's dead! What are we going to do?
Two, get out of here. Drag him in that alley.
Oh, yeah, but he's dead. That's hit and run driving. We ought to report.
You heard me. Drag him in that alley and let's get out of here.
Yes, the man lying dead in the alley marked the beginning of a story. A very important story to Mr. and Mrs. Crake, Albert and Carolyn. Two lovely people who run a boarding house a few blocks away. It's a vital story to them because it involves money. And anything that involves money is more important than life itself to Mr. and Mrs. Crake.
And another thing, Albert. You've got to go up and see Mr. Sedgwick right this minute because he ain't paid his rent for next week. He's a new boarder, and it's best we show him right off that we ain't going to put up with back rent.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better if we could get that Mr. Sedgwick out of here. I don't like the looks of him. Besides, he burns the electric too much at night.
It's getting so two honest people ain't able to run a decent, respectable place no more.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, you go right up and see that, Mr. Sedgwick. And if he ain't got the money, out he goes.
I don't like the way he looks at me, Caroline.
Hmm? He has got a funny way of looking at people. But that ain't got nothing to do with the rent. And you tell him... Who's there?
Your star boarder, Mr. Campion.
Oh, dear. Now, what does he want?
Good evening, Albert. Caroline.
You ain't to call us by our first names. I told you that.
A friendly gesture on my part, Mr. Craig. But I didn't descend into these charming quarters of yours to discuss the amenities of nomenclature.
Now, you stop that fancy talk. And don't bring that cigarette in here.
Hmm?
You ain't been smoking in bed now, have you?
No, but it's an idea. At least the feeble glow would provide more light than the ceiling fixture.
You're complaining again, and you're getting a good room at a reasonable rent. There ain't many boarding houses in the city where you're
getting... No, you're right. There aren't many boarding houses in the city where the boarders have to race home at night to make sure they can get their evening paper. Or where the owners get up at 4 a.m. to steal the cream off the milk.
Are you calling us thieves?
No, I don't think so, Mrs. Craig. I'd have to qualify that. Sneak thieves, I should say.
Oh, no,
stop it. Let's don't argue about it. What about the hot plate in my room?
What's the matter with it?
It belies its name, Mr. Craig. It is no longer a hot plate. It has become a refrigerator.
You broke it.
In the passage of time, sweet Caroline, mechanical and electrical appliances get out of order.
But we can't get parts, Mr. Campion.
All right. Let's get to something else. The bedspread, for example. It has become one of the most exciting games I've ever played, to find a spot in the spread free from holes. It embarrasses me when I have guests.
We can't afford a new one, Mr. Campion.
We shall forget the bedspread and take up the subject of the ceiling fixture.
That ain't broke.
Well, not exactly, but it certainly is eccentric. It goes on and off, Mr. Craig, like a lighthouse. Though guaranteed to be untouched by human hands, yet it flashes ambitiously and energetically.
You keep finding fault with everything.
I am not alone. And now that I've registered my complaint, I shall retire to the damp chill of the crypt I occupy and for which I pay $68 a month.
If you don't like it, you can get out.
That, Mrs. Craig, is a line which becomes you well. Good night.
Young puppy. For 2 cents, I'd...
Such extravagance. And from you, of all people. Good night.
Well, I never. Albert, as soon as we can, we'll put him out.
Carolyn, it might be hard to rent that room. And he does pay regular.
Well... Oh, Mr. Sedgwick.
Eh?
You go right up there and get the money from Mr. Sedgwick.
Now, Carolyn, maybe he'll bring it down. Night ain't over yet.
You're scared of him.
I don't like the way he looks at me.
We'll both go.
All right.
There goes that Miss Barton, turning on the water again to wash her hair. Miss Barton, you close off that water good and don't use too much.
Yeah, she knows all right, her being a day behind with her rent.
Mr. Sedgwick?
Mr. Sedgwick!
Your lovely knuckles, Caroline. You'll skin them.
You keep quiet.
Wouldn't you rather I told you that Mr. Sedgwick went out?
How do you know?
He went out the front door some time ago. Now go away and stop pounding. I have work to do.
I'd like to slap that smart alecky Mr. Campion's face for him.
Never mind, Caroline. Let's go for our walk.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Craik, you are a remarkable couple. You do take the cream from the milk, and you do read the newspapers before the boarders get home to save a couple of pennies. And now you go for your walk. Not for exercise, though. It's to save electric light bills. Every night it's the same, down the same street, past the warehouse, over to the brewery, and along the street running through the wholesale district, until you finally get sleepy and turn homeward.
Albert, if that smart Mr. Campion tells you that he ain't using electric light in that lamp he bought, he's lying.
Yeah, we could just catch him at it. He's got enough light in his room. He don't need no more lamps. It's costing us money to put up with him.
That's right, Albert. Money, money. We always got troubles.
Wait a minute.
That's a man laying there. Drunk, most likely.
Yeah, that's right. Honest people have to slave for their money, and some no good like this drinks it up and then...
I don't smell no liquor.
Maybe I'm going to look closer.
Keep away from him, Albert. Maybe it's a trap. He might be a hold-up man.
Carolyn, it's Mr. Sedgwick. It is. Look.
What's the matter with him?
He's dead.
Albert.
Looks like maybe he got hit by an auto.
What's that?
His pocket. It's stuffed with money.
And him owing us rent.
Look, Carolyn, it's so much.
Albert, what do you suppose...
Shh. Ain't nobody in sight.
What are you thinking?
Huh? Me? What are you thinking?
Nothing. I ain't thinking nothing.
Ain't nobody in sight.
But it'd be stealing.
Ain't nobody in sight.
Oh, Albert, it's so much money.
He probably come by it bad.
I never did like the way he looked. Like one of them gangsters.
Yeah, he wouldn't do no good with it.
And he owes us rent.
Yeah.
It's his kind that spend it on some chorus girl.
You and me, we...
Albert, are you going to do it? Or ain't you?
Ain't nobody watching. Ain't nobody saw him before us either. And there wouldn't be no money.
Albert.
Carolyn, come on. I got it.
With the prologue of tonight's story, Lucky Night, the Signal Oil Company brings you another strange story by The Whistler. If you're a Whistler fan, you've heard me say that with new Signal gasoline, you now go farther than ever. But if you've gotten the impression that drivers interested in mileage are the chief buyers of Signal gasoline, you'll be interested in a little experiment I conducted this week at a Signal station asking customers why they preferred Signal gasoline. An engineer in a 1942 Buick told me that new Signal helped him get maximum efficiency from his motor. The driver of a 1937 Ford told me that with new Signal in his tank, his tired old car actually felt young again. And a traveling salesman emphasized the importance of Signal's good mileage. Now, if it seems strange to you that three drivers interested in three different qualities should all find them in the same gasoline, well, I can clear up that mystery for you in a hurry. You see, scientists, by rearranging the atoms in gasoline molecules, put amazing power into new Signal gasoline. And because that power helps you get greater efficiency, extra performance from your motor, you naturally get maximum mileage. That's why, while you're enjoying its quicker starting, faster pickup, and higher anti-knock, you'll find you do go farther than ever with new Signal gasoline. And now, back to the Whistler.
So you've taken the money from Mr. Sedgwick, Albert and Carolyn. But look, isn't someone behind you? Faster, walk faster. Just a shadow, wasn't it? But you didn't know that, Mr. and Mrs. Craik. That money is heavy in your pocket, isn't it, Albert? Faster now, both of you. Hurry home to hide the money in the mattress. Yes, in the mattress with the rest of your miser's hoard. But faster again. The memory of Mr. Sedgwick lying back there is pursuing you, and you've got to get away. Faster now, faster.
Carolyn, I...
Lock the door. You didn't lose it, did you, Albert?
No, I got it right here.
You've got to put it in the mattress with the rest
of them. Well, welcome home. Back early, aren't you?
Mr. Campion.
Yes, were you expecting someone else?
No, I wasn't.
Hey, what have you two been doing, running?
No. Why should we be running?
You might have heard the nickel I dropped upstairs.
Hey, you ain't funny, Mr. Campion.
I wasn't trying to be funny, Albert. Now, look, what's the matter with you two?
Mr. Craik ain't feeling good.
He looks a little pale around the gills. Someone chasing you?
No, nobody chased us.
Why'd you ask that?
Well, from the way you dashed in here, I thought perhaps you'd robbed a bank or something like that.
We're honest people.
To a certain extent, yes.
Are you calling us thieves again?
I explained that once before tonight. You two certainly do look excited. And the only thing that could bring a flush to your careworn cheeks would be money. Perhaps left by a rich uncle?
We ain't got any uncle.
And that ain't no way to talk, Mr. Campion.
Okay, we'll forget it. I'm going for a walk.
A walk?
Well, sure, why not? The ceiling fixture gave up the ghost altogether a few minutes ago. Can't work anymore.
Which way are you walking?
Does that make any difference?
Well, of course not, but it's damp out.
Yes, you might catch a chill.
Your solicitude is absolutely amazing. Can this be the Craiks? The same people who all through the winter dole out heat by fractions of degrees?
You want that light fixed, don't you?
Unless I am to become a mole, light would be welcome,
well,
yes.
Well, then you go along with Mr. Craik, Mr. Campion.
Aha! What's the matter?
I see.
See what?
Mr. Craik has...
What have I got?
Wire. Wire to repair the ceiling fixture.
Oh.
If I help him, it saves the electrician's fee for you.
You're always poking fun at us.
Oh, no, Mrs. Craik. Well, come along, Albert. You and I shall play Steinmetz to the ceiling fixture.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, but Mrs. Craik.
Huh?
I should still like to know what encounter brought you two home before sleep deadened your elfin steps and dulled those brilliant minds.
You coming, Mr. Campion?
Certainly, Mr. Craik. Yeah, certainly.
Albert, you better leave that package with me.
Oh, I forgot.
Package? What package?
In his coat pocket. Albert, give it to me.
I ain't going to leave you alone with it. Mr. Campion.
Yes, Albert?
There's wire and stuff in the cellar. You get it yourself here. Here's the key to the basement.
What wonder of wonders. The key to the Craik cellar. And shall I find vintage 1902 or perhaps the skeletons of former boarders?
You fix the light, Mr. Campion. If there's anything you need, you can buy it tomorrow. We'll pay you for it.
None. Absolutely numb I am. This is the epitome of surprise. The key to the cellar, an offer of payment by the Craiks, all in one evening.
You gonna fix it or not?
Certainly. Tomorrow may see the Craiks back in usual form. Therefore, tonight, I shall gather the golden fruits of whatever occasion this munificent
behavior. You're a fool. You mentioned package and there ain't none.
I want to see how much is there.
We could have counted it later.
How do I know you wouldn't have took it some from yourself?
You shut up and come on. We'll count it in our room.
So you count the money, Mr. and Mrs. Craik. And how much is there? 100? Keep counting. 300? Oh, much more. 500, 1,000. Keep counting. Perspiration is beading your forehead. Your hands are damp, sticky. The bills stick to your fingers. Now you reach 2,000, 3,000, 3,500. You're not through yet. Keep counting, counting. Your breath hot, your eyes glazed with greed. Ah, now you've finished counting. How much?
$5,000.
And we found it. Just found it. We went for a walk and we found
it. Not so loud. You wake everybody.
Oh, we're rich. We're rich.
Who's there?
Campion, is anything wrong?
No. There's nothing the matter.
But I thought I heard Mrs. Craig.
Did you fix the light?
Oh, yes. Here's the key to the cellar.
Put it under the door.
Put it under the door.
Shh. Shove it under.
Okay. But are you sure there's nothing...
Just go to bed, Mr. Campion.
I'm going out for a walk. If anyone calls, I'll be back in a half hour.
Albert, he can't go. Maybe he'll go the way we did and see him.
Did you hear me?
Sure. Mr. Campion.
Yes?
It's awful chilly out.
If you'll observe closely, I'm the possessor of an overcoat. A serviceable Benny, which...
Wouldn't you like a nice cup of tea?
I beg your pardon?
You like tea, don't you, Mr. Campion?
I don't understand.
And tomorrow we'll have a new hot plate for you.
Yeah, maybe we can pick up one secondhand.
Mr. and Mrs. Craik, take a close look at me. My name is Campion. I've been living here for 6 months, during which time you must have seen that I am not affluent in any way. I have no influence with the governor. I know no politicians or statesmen. What little money I have, I spend for bare necessities. In short, Albert, Caroline, why are you spreading this soft soap with such a lavish hand?
We're willing to let bygones be bygones.
Oh? Well, thanks very much for the offer of tea. But I shall take a walk just the same.
He he'll go the way we did. I know he will.
Forget it. Close the door. What if he does find him? All he'll see is that Sedgwick laying in the alley. We didn't kill him. Anybody could see it was Otto that done it. Campion can't know about the money. Sedgwick was only here 2 days.
But we gotta hide it in case.
In the mattress, with the rest.
We ain't got time. What if Mr. Campion does know about the money? What if he sees Mr. Sedgwick and comes back here? We ain't got time to open the mattress and close it again.
Well, then what do we do?
Put it in the fireplace until tomorrow morning.
Then what?
When the bank's open, you go clear over to the outer side of town. If it's a nice day, you can walk. Change one of the big bills into littler ones.
Yeah, you're crazy. What good's that gonna do?
You'll see. Now listen. Then go to another bank and put the littler bills in a bank account.
We ain't got none.
You can open one. Maybe do the same thing for a week until all the money is out of here. Ain't nobody knows us on the other side of town.
Yeah, I see. Well, that's a good idea.
And then, when we're good and sure nobody else knows about the money, we can take it out of the banks and bring it back here, see?
Yes. Well, that's smart. That's pretty smart, Carolyn. I bet even Mr. Smarty Pants Campion couldn't think of nothing like that.
That's a splendid idea, Albert and Carolyn. Splendid. You hear Mr. Campion come back. Go to his room upstairs. He doesn't knock on your door. He says nothing. So you sigh with relief. But you spend a sleepless night just the same. What if he does know and guesses? Then it's morning. You leave the house, Albert. In your pocket is $100 bill. You start for a bank across town, the bank where no one knows you. You reach the bank, give the bill to one of the tellers. He looks at you hard. Is there some suspicion in his glance? Is there, Albert? But he changes the bill, and you hurry out. You start for another bank blocks away. But before you get there, a newspaper headline catches your eye. You can't read it all, but two words make you start and turn pale. Bank robbery. You read as much as you can, but your lifelong miserliness doesn't let you spend a nickel, just 5 cents, for that paper. Then one phrase strikes your eye. Marked money. Marked money. Now you hurry home. The other bank is forgotten. You should take a taxi, but you don't think of it, even though fives and tens are clutched in your pocket, the dampness from your hand making them a pulpy mass. Now you're home, safe.
Pardon me, Mr. Craig.
I can't stop now, Mr. Campion.
Okay, so you can't stop. Don't you want to know why this policeman is here?
Policeman? Where?
Using the phone down the hall. It seems our good friend Mr. Sedgwick has some shady dealings.
Sedgwick?
Yes, you see, there was a little incident.
I got to go to Carolyn. I went out to get some medicine.
The law will wait, Mr. Craig. The law will wait.
Carolyn!
Is the policeman gone, Albert?
No, he ain't.
I saw him coming down the street while I was looking out the window for you. Why was you gone so long, Albert?
Oh, never mind that.
He came up the stairs and he rang the bell. I couldn't answer the door. I just couldn't, Albert. So I pretended I wasn't here. Then Mr. Campion came down and knocked on our door.
Did he hear you? He know you was here?
I must have made some kind of noise because he talked to me. I didn't say nothing. Then I heard the policeman and Mr. Campion talking.
You tell me what they were saying.
I couldn't hear it good. I put my ear against the door, but I couldn't hear nothing but low talk.
And that's what it's for. That's what it's for.
What are you saying?
Where's the rest of the money?
Still in the fireplace. Are they going to arrest us, Albert? Are they going to arrest us for taking money from Mr. Sedgwick?
The paper said it was marked.
Oh.
The bandits took marked money from the bank. The serial numbers was all wrote down. Now we got it. That Mr. Sedgwick was a crook.
We got to give it back.
You're crazy. Then we got to tell him we stole it off Sedgwick. We got to get rid of the money.
Albert! What are you doing?
Burning it.
Oh, no, Albert.
Let go of my arm. That fellow at the bank, he looked funny at me. It took me 20 minutes to get back here. He told the police before I got back.
You burning it! Burning it!
You shut up!
Oh, it's all burning up!
Shut up!
Oh! Albert, you didn't have to hit me. You didn't have to hit me.
Shh, shh, shh. That's a policeman. Shh, shh, shh. Quiet. That's a policeman. Now, you go keep him away. The money's nearly gone. And then he can come in. Go ahead now. Go ahead. Don't stand there like a fish. Go ahead.
Who is it?
Campion, with a stout minion of the law, his name is McCarthy.
Just a couple of seconds more.
I,
I ain't dressed.
Oh, come, come, Mrs. Craik. It's after 10. You were up early this morning. I heard you.
It's done, Carolyn. You can let him in.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending of tonight's story. Meantime, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Don't you be surprised if someday somebody stops you on the street and asks such questions as, what do you consider the most important qualities in gasoline? Or, why did you select the brand of motor oil you're using? The questioner will probably be from the research organization which Signal Oil Company regularly employs to find out how they can serve you better, how they can help you get more pleasure from your car. It's this policy of finding out what the motorist wants, then giving it to him, that has led to the development of ever finer Signal products, including that amazing new Signal gasoline that's so packed with power you can actually feel the difference and see it and hear it. Give it a try. The chances are you'll say Signal gasoline has everything. For after all, new Signal gasoline, like all Signal products, is the answer to what you, the motoring public, have told Signal's research people that you want. And now, back to the Whistler.
Well, Albert and Carolyn, it was just too good to be true, wasn't it? You thought it was your lucky night that your good friend Mr. Sedgwick, lying dead in the alley, would turn out to be a profitable investment after all. But there were too many things you didn't know, too many strings attached to that $5,000. That's why you're relieved now as you watch the last of it smolder in the grate after admitting Officer McCarthy and Mr. Campion.
What's that, officer? What about Mr. Sedgwick?
Well, when we found his body lying there in the alley, we had to find out where he was staying. That's why I'm here. You say he's been living here?
Only for 2 days.
We didn't know nothing about him.
Sure, no honest folks would. Him with a record a yard long and more aliases than you can shake a stick at.
As soon as I read about the bank robbery, I said to Carolyn, that Sedgwick is the kind of a man who looks like a robber.
Sedgwick? Robber? Is that right, McCarthy?
Lord, no. Small stuff with Sedgwick's line. Sneak thieving. The bank robbery's been cleared up and all the money's recovered.
No, that's not right.
It's in all the morning papers.
The Craiks never buy newspapers, McCarthy. Papers cost a nickel.
But
Did you read the paper?
Well, I couldn't read it all, only what I could see.
A typical Craik action. Peek over and read as much as possible on the newsstand or over a shoulder.
But Sedgwick, he had $5,000.
How do you know?
He had it. We know.
Not a penny on him when we found him.
Oh, that night you came in, excited, out of breath. Oh, no, I can't believe... Oh, no, this is too much. McCarthy, Sedgwick was a sneak thief.
He was.
Albert.
Caroline.
Yeah? Did you keep money in your room here? Did you?
Oh, the mattress!
It's been split open!
You burned our own money, you fool! You burned our own money!
What's she talking about?
Briefly, McCarthy, poetic justice.
Next Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories, and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program produced by George W. Allen, with tonight's story by Russell Hughes, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. This is Marvin Miller speaking, reminding you to look for those familiar yellow and black circle signs that identify those popular Signal Oil stations in 7 western states from Canada to Mexico. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The girl that's being held prisoner has been harmed in any way. You two men can toss coins to see which one I gunned down first.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, I'm Mr. Paladin.
Yes, Mr. Laird?
In regard to that matter we were discussing this morning, well, I've given it a little thought and...
Mr. Paladin!
Excuse me, Mr. Laird. Over here, hey boy.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, a telegraph message come just now for you. Here.
Thank you.
As I was saying, Paladin, I've given the thing some thought, and while I must admit you drive a hard bargain...
Hey, boy, I want you to help me with my things. I'll be leaving.
Paladin, I'm prepared to meet your terms. $3,000.
I'm sorry. I've just received a better offer.
A better offer? How much?
Not a cent, Mr. Laird. This offer has nothing to do with money.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
The telegram read, "Need you urgently. Barton Ranch, Three Rivers, California." That's all. But that was enough because it was signed Phyllis Thackeray. Three Rivers wasn't far, a hard day's ride. And as I rode through the spring morning, I thought about Dr. Phyllis Thackeray. Our trails had crossed just once, briefly, but I'd never forgotten her. A courageous doctor and a very special kind of a woman. It was near sundown when I rode up to the Barton Ranch house.
Yes?
My name is Paladin.
Oh, yes, sir. Come in. I'm Tom Barton. Dr. Thackeray asked me to send you the telegraph message.
Where is she?
We don't need you here, mister. Go on back to San Francisco.
Who are you?
This is my father. He owns this ranch.
I'm here to see the doctor. Where is she?
That telegram was a mistake. My son and I can handle things here.
I want to see Dr. Thackeray, and I want to see her now.
Now, wait a minute.
I'll give you just that, mister. 1 minute to show me that girl.
You walk into my house and get rough with me, and I'll have
now,
you...
Now, Pa, there's no reason for any fuss. Mr. Paladin just wants to see the doctor.
That's your way, isn't it, Tom? Back away from anything tougher than a stake. Fall over and play dead when the man tells you to.
That's not true, Pa. I just don't believe in fighting when there's no fight called for.
Nor at any other time.
Where is the doctor?
There, in the study.
Who is it?
Paladin.
Paladin. Just a moment.
Come in. Shut the door and bolt it. Paladin, my patient here is very sick, and it's contagious.
Are you all right?
I was vaccinated 2 years ago back east. But anyone can carry the germ. It's smallpox.
I see.
I should have said something in the telegram.
You're afraid I wouldn't come?
Would you have?
I didn't have anything important to do.
Paladin.
And I've been vaccinated, too. Hello, Phyllis.
Hello, Paladin.
How long have you been here by yourself?
I guess I've lost count.
Any sleep?
Well,
You need rest. Sit down on that cot. Is that coffee hot?
Yes.
You take a half teaspoon of sugar, don't you?
You remember.
Lots of things. Here.
Thank you.
Why did you send for me?
To help me do my duty as a doctor. With the point of your gun, if necessary.
Uh-huh.
It's serious, Paladin. The man on the cot over there, Nate, was the chuck wagon cook on the roundup. They sent him back to the ranch when he got too sick to work. He could have infected every man in the outfit. I have to see that each one of them is vaccinated.
Well?
Well, there's a supply of vaccine at Fort Landis, and I've sent them a telegraph message. But it'll be 3 days before it gets here. The men will be back in the morning.
3 days? Well, can't they wait?
Those men have worked 6 months without a break. They have 6 months' pay coming. They'll be so anxious to get paid off and get into Stockton, they won't wait for anything.
Well, when you explain about the smallpox...
Well, that's the trouble. We have to keep that a secret. They'd run like rabbits if they knew.
You want me to keep them here?
Yes. Paladin, you'll have to.
All right, I'll do what I can. And Dr. Thackeray, you'll have to get some sleep.
Oh, no, I...
Come on, lie down there. I'll cover you with this blanket.
But, Nate...
I'll watch, Nate. If there's any change, I'll call you. Now, come on. Settle down, get some rest. I'll take over.
Be careful, you're going to land in a bathtub.
Who's driving this flying saucer, you or me?
Well, what do you see?
Oh, germs. Millions and millions of germs.
Sure, here on Earth, disease, germs, and viruses live in bathrooms.
Wait, here comes a lady. She's putting a dash of Lysol in with those suds, and she's mopping the floor. Wow, look at those germs and viruses drop dead.
Boy, are you stupid. I thought all Martians knew that Lysol brand disinfectant kills disease germs and many deadly viruses on contact. Disinfects from one cleaning to the next if nothing else can.
That's right. I remember my 7 grandmothers saying Lysol makes your favorite cleaner work better, including many that claim to sanitize.
I'm sorry you learned to speak English by listening to commercials.
And Lysol comes in regular or pine fragrance for as little as 29 cents.
How much is that in Martian money?
Paladin, how's Nate?
He's no better. Dr. Thackeray thought you should know.
I should have got Nate off his place when he first come back.
I understand the men who were with him on the roundup will be back in the morning.
That's right.
And if he dies, there'll be no way of concealing the cause of death. There'll be a stampede from this ranch in all directions.
Let him go.
He can't. Every man allowed to leave this spread without a vaccination could be carrying death to who knows how many people.
That's the men. They're back early.
We're not going to be able to handle them, Pa.
Well, I'm going to try. You're back early, Fred.
Boys in a hurry to get paid off, Mr. Barton.
We're leaving come early morning.
Fred, why don't you come on in the house? Got to have a little talk before you go anyway.
Sure thing. I'll be back right after I get things put straight. You just get our pay ready meanwhile.
Come on, fellas. Get out!
Yeah, Missy ain't going to be able to handle those men.
Look, they work for you. Which of you is going to give the orders to keep them here?
I didn't ask for this fuss.
Tom?
Well, Fred Cooley's the range boss. It'd be a waste of breath talking to him. He'll do what he wants.
No, he won't. He'll do what he's made to do. What you tell him to do, Tom.
But Fred won't listen to me.
Tom, you went against my orders, getting that female doctor in here. Keeping Nate on the place. You started this. Now let's see you try to finish it.
Now wait a minute, Paul.
This will be your ranch one day, son. You ought to be running it now.
He's right, Tom. Sooner or later, whoever is foreman will have to start taking orders from you. Nobody's going to stand by you with a gun for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'll try.
I hope he does it. He wasn't such a weakling.
Tom will be all right.
He's got no gumption. You gotta fight, Paladin. Talk's no good.
Barton, I've let my gun speak for me too many times. Believe me, words are better.
We'll see.
Hours passed, and Phyllis slept fitfully while I sat watching the sick man. The false dawn was just beginning to break when I heard the men coming up from the bunkhouse. I walked out into the front room. Barton sat in a chair by the dying fire.
They're coming.
Yeah, it's after 5 o'clock.
Let's go meet them. Well, boys?
Mr. Barton, what about this here talk of Tom's?
I think you ought to apologize.
Steve Pauly here thinks Tom was serious about our not getting paid off this morning.
I ought to apologize.
Steve, just simmer down. I said Tom was funning with us. Who was right, Mr. Barton, me or Steve?
Where is Tom?
What about our money, Mr. Barton?
We want it now, don't we, boys?
We sure do.
And that's how it'll be. There's a strong box in your study, Mr. Barton. You get our money out and ready now. We're riding out, sunup.
Cooley, you're talking to me now, not my son.
I know who I'm talking to.
Now, wait a minute.
I ain't waiting, not at all. Either you open that safe or we break it open right now.
You step up onto this porch, I'll put a bullet in you. Well?
You can't shoot us all, Mr. Barton. And that money is due,
I... He said you're not going in there.
What's your business here, mister?
I'm just helping a friend.
All right. Sunup's in an hour. Gonna take me that hour to gather my gear together. Then I'm coming right back here for my pay and riding out. Don't try to stop me.
It's up to you.
You know something, mister? You're right. It is up to us.
Now, hold on.
I ain't gonna hold on for nobody. I don't figure to wait until sunup.
Don't be a fool. He's not hurt bad. A couple of you men get him back to the bunkhouse and take care of that arm.
We'll do just that, mister. And then we'll be back.
Phyllis?
Paladin, come in. I heard shots.
That's all right. How's your patient?
His pulse is steadier. Fever's no better, though. If he can only make it until daylight, he'll have a chance.
More quinine?
Not for a while.
Is there anything I can do for you, then?
Yes. Talk to me. Keep me awake.
Talk to you? That's not so easy anymore.
You've never had any trouble finding words.
Well, the words are easy enough. The words that don't count. And now, with you, it's different.
Is it, Paladin?
It's because we're the kind of people we are.
What kind of people are we, Paladin?
neither of us ready for marriage. You have to go on with your work because it's important to you and to the people who need you.
And you have to go on with your work because you're you.
Yes.
Paladin, I'm confused. Have you been proposing?
No. No, I've been explaining why I haven't proposed.
Oh. Well, it's flattering. I know there aren't many women to whom you feel it necessary to explain why you're not proposing.
This is the first time.
I believe it's time now for Nate's quinine.
Can I help?
No, I think... Paladin. He's better. His fever's dropped. I think he's going to live.
You've done your job well, Doctor. I hope I meet with as much success with mine.
Hear that? It's been a long night. Paladin. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad, I guess.
Hmm?
That we're the kind of people we are.
Oh. Of course. For now. Well, you've got work to do. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Out front. I've got a little job to do at sunup.
Like to listen while you work? Then here's a reminder that each Monday through Friday over most of these CBS radio stations, you'll find a wealth of dramatic serials that are designed to keep you the best of company. We don't guarantee that they'll turn your housework into play, but they will help to speed it along. So, you plan to listen. Take The Couple Next Door, for instance. Family comedy at its hilarious, warm-hearted best. You can be sure of one chuckle after another as you listen to the Daffy Diary of Mr. and Mrs. Piper and their small brood. The Pipers are prone to a peck of pretty pickles, which means for you, a peck of smiles. You'll enjoy hearing such longtime favorites as The Couple Next Door, The Romance of Helen Trent, Right to Happiness, Ma Perkins, The Second Mrs. Burton, Young Dr. Malone, and Whispering Streets. Each Monday through Friday, make it a point to keep your dial set for CBS Radio and first-rate daytime dramatic entertainment.
It's almost sunrise, Barton.
Fred Cooley will be here. I know him.
I'll be waiting.
It's not for you to do. I don't like this, letting another man do my work or my son's work.
Where is Tom?
He's still out somewhere. I guess he just don't have what it takes. I'll have to handle this myself.
I'll be back. Tom? Tom!
Over here, Paladin.
Saddling your horse, what's the idea?
I guess you might say I'm figuring to run out.
Oh?
Paw's right. I can't face up to a fight. I tried to talk to the men. I did the best I could.
I know you didn't. What's more, you probably did as well as anyone could.
But I failed.
Tom, there's a rifle hanging on the wall in your house there. It's a symbol of an unfortunate truth. Sometimes talk has to be backed up with action.
Paw don't think too much of me.
He thinks you're a weakling, and he'll be sure of it if you run away. Your father's trying to give you a chance to prove yourself. This is going to be your ranch, Tom. Don't quit it.
Paladin! Tom!
Yeah, Pa?
Dr. Thackeray, she's hurt.
Come on. Where is she?
Over there. Teddy, he was half out of his mind. Come in the back door.
Phyllis. Phyllis. Who did this?
That study door was open. He seen Nate in there, and when he found out about the smallpox, he just went plumb loco. When I tried to stop him, he hit me with his six gun.
Who was it?
Dr. Thackeray. She tried to reason with him, but he was crazy scared. He hit her, knocked her down.
Who did?
Cooley. It was Fred Cooley.
Where is he?
Started on down to the bunkhouse. Said he was getting out of here.
Paladin, wait!
Phyllis.
Paladin. I'm leaving this place fast.
Not now.
Why, I'll beat you right down and run.
Where are you?
No, the Paladin.
Paladin!
No.
Paladin, you turn him! Paladin, back!
That's enough, Paladin. I'm telling you. And this rifle's going to back up my words. It's one thing to shoot a man, another to beat him to death. I'll put a bullet in you if I have to. I'll handle this.
All right. Yeah. All right, Tom. It seems like you've kind of taken over the running of things, doesn't it?
Three days later, the courier from Fort Landis arrived with the vaccine. With this newfound authority, Tom had no trouble keeping the men in line. The iron hand in the velvet glove. On a rifle butt.
Are the men ready, Paladin?
As soon as you are, Doctor, they're lined up outside.
Their sleeves rolled up?
Mm-hmm. They don't quite know what to expect, but Tom's holding them there with a rifle. You know, you're quite a doctor.
When I became a doctor, I took an oath, which in part says, I will prescribe for the good of my patients according to my ability and my judgment. Draw your gun, Paladin, and bring them in.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, so happy to see you back.
Stay there, hey boy. Keep your distance.
What?
Keep your distance.
Something the matter, Mr. Paladin?
Faulty memory, that's all. If anyone asks for me, I'll be back in half an hour.
Oh, yes, Mr. Paladin. But where are you going?
I have an appointment to get a vaccination.
Gun Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Stanley Silverman and Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Sam Edwards, Harry Bartell, Lou Krugman, and Lawrence Dobkin. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with more. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Also find a link there to our Shoutcast stream with even more old-time radio, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.